As unrest in communist China grows, so does its aggression on the world stage. Commentary. At this point, China's declining economic situation is well documented. The damage is too large to cover up with propaganda, and the Chinese people know it. Even the Chinese Communist Party's 75th anniversary was austere. Negative economic factors have been building for years. China was already having problems in 2018 and 2019 with the Trump administration's imposition of steep tariffs on Chinese goods. But the COVID-19 pandemic and the CCP's extreme zero-COVID, three-year lockdown period made China's economic downturn much worse. China is being tested. As we approach the last quarter of 2024, the CCP is being tested by unprecedented domestic economic conditions. As a result, civil unrest is 18% higher than last year. The slowdown has many facets, of course. We'll name just a few in this space. One big factor is the real estate sector, which is about 30% of GDP. It continues to crater, and at the time of this writing, there is no recovery in sight. Home prices and sales continue to decline. What's more, Chinese consumers are buying less, with consumer spending making up just 38% of GDP. By contrast, that figure is 60-70% in developed countries. Sloth and disillusion. Not unexpectedly, unemployment among China's youth had been at least 21% and likely higher when the CCP stopped publishing unemployment figures in June 2023. Then, in December of that year, the CCP released new statistics from a new method of measuring youth unemployment, which did not include students. That new approach dropped that figure down to 14.9%, but that's still almost three times higher than China's national rate of 5.1%. High jobless rates for young people hinder future growth potential and have added to the lie-flat trend amongst many in China's new generation who have little hope of or ambition to obtain the lifestyle that their parents enjoyed. Sloth and disillusion are hardly the stuff that strong economies are made of. The risks and dangers of disaffected youth movements are not unknown in China. The ghost of Tiananmen still haunts Chinese authorities. Even though the surveillance and control that the CCP has over its people is light ahead of the Tiananmen Square era of 1989, embedded political and industrial policies. Still, there are embedded economic realities that can't easily be changed. Party doctrine dictates that China's top economic advantage is found in its low levels of domestic consumption and high savings rate. These two factors mean domestic capital flows directly into the state-controlled banking system, which it can then allocate to specific industries. This gives the party tremendous control over industrial policy and private capital. For instance, China's economic and development structures are geared toward high levels of industrial output. That may seem fine, but because China's political organization and industrial arrangements within the party are focused on large production capacity and not innovation or differentiation, the outcomes are massive overproduction that is often well beyond global demand and in profitable factories. Constant oversupplies, from electric vehicle batteries to electronics, result in Chinese manufacturers dumping massive amounts of cheap products into foreign markets, triggering trade friction such as tariffs and other retaliation, which also make conditions worse in China. In short, China's distorted industrial policies tied to a graft loyalty political system have made it incapable of changing without disrupting the CCP structure and the loyalties that come with it. No stopping the downward spiral. For these reasons and others, over the past several years, China has found itself in a downward spiral of deflation, falling domestic consumption, and declining confidence in the CCP. What's more, there are few real options that won't threaten the CCP's grip over the country. It must be made clear, however, that with its surveillance capabilities, the party can handle a loss of confidence in the eyes of the people, but it can't survive a loss of power. The two are not the same. What the CCP will do is continue to support some critical areas of the economy, such as artificial intelligence, robotics, and military enhancements, while letting other sectors flail without little or no bailouts. Some sectors will eventually return, but not in the near future. This is clear to many within and outside of China, as billions of dollars in investment and capital continue to exit China. Wolf warrior diplomacy is alive and well. This brings us to China's so-called wolf warrior diplomacy approach toward other nations, which it adopted in 2019 on the cusp of the COVID-19 COVID-19 outbreak and global criticism of Beijing's disastrous handling of the pandemic. China was already under economic duress due to the rising trade war with the United States. Some observers attribute this approach to personal ambition among China's diplomatic personnel and/or an attempt to improve the perceived investment environment in China. Neither makes any sense when it's understood that Xi Jinping is not allowing diplomats to make their own rules and policies, and pre-Wolf Warrior investment levels were high. Why would the CCP authorities imagine that increasing aggression on the global stage would make more countries want to invest there? They don't. A more realistic rationale for China's rising aggression on the world stage is that Beijing feels the need to control the narrative at home and intimidate the rest of the world. The spillover between a declining economy and rising unrest is clear. At home, the CCP needs to blame the West and other foreigners for its blatant economic failures, not only for exculpatory purposes, but also to whip up nationalism and justify further aggressions as economic conditions continue to deteriorate. Some observers have concluded that Beijing's days of wolf warrior diplomacy are now over. Current events, however, defy such a conclusion. These include the Chinese regime's provocative incursions with military planes and boats into or near territorial waters or airspace of the United States, Taiwan, and the Philippines, border battles with India, as well as a desire to expand control of the South China Sea. On the global stage, as the return to bullets over diplomacy rises, Beijing sees an opportunity to influence and/or intimidate other nations.